it's got to be, whenever you have a nuclear power plant, you're generating plutonium. Saudi Arabia last year, the nuclear energy technology to Saudi Arabia, which is the, you know, what you need for the last 15 years. And so the trouble is the nuclear weapons. It's always used access to nuclear energy as the carrot to get countries to agree not to develop nuclear weapons. And that's just always been a contradiction because, you know, again, whenever you have nuclear power, you've got everything you need to have a nuclear weapons program. And so that's where I think we're, you know, we're in a really dire spot right now with the way that these issues are playing out globally.
Tim, can you tell our listeners slowly how they can access your very informative and clear website for NEARS?
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. It's really much shorter than our name. It's www.nirs.org. You can find a lot of great information there. We have even sort of a section for nuclear basics that has a frequently asked questions section that will give you a ton of great information about nuclear power, the nuclear fuel chain, radioactive waste, and what we need to be doing to fight climate change.
That's N as in Nancy, IRS.org, listeners. NEARS.org. Thank you very much, Tim Judson.
Yeah, thanks. This has been great. Really glad we did this.
We've been speaking with Tim Judson. We will link to the Nuclear Information and Resource Service at RalphNaderRadioHour.com. Up next, Ralph is going to talk about the death of Boeing whistleblower John Barnett and also respond to the considerable amount of pushback we got on last week's interview with Barbara McQuaid. But first, let's check in with our corporate crime reporter, Russell Mokhiber.
From the National Press Building in Washington, D.C., this is your Corporate Crime Reporter Morning Minute for Friday, March 15, 2024. I'm Russell Mokhiber. Consistent evidence shows that diets high in ultra-processed food are associated with an increased risk of 32 damaging health outcomes. That's according to a report from CBS News. A British medical journal study found higher exposure to these foods can be harmful to health in a variety of ways, including higher risk for cancer, major heart and lung conditions, gastrointestinal issues, obesity, type 2 diabetes, sleep issues, mental health disorders, and early death. Ultra-processed foods, which undergo multiple industrial processes and often contain colors, emulsifiers, flavors, and other additives, include products such as packaged baked goods, snacks, carbonated soft drinks, and sugary cereals. For the Corporate Crime Reporter, I'm Russell Mokhiber.
Thank you, Russell. Welcome back to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. I'm Steve Scrovan, along with Hannah and the rest of the team. Back in November of 2019, our favorite corp, being a deposition in that case, this dead in his staying. Ralph, would you like to...
Really tragic. John Barnett, Boeing for 32 years until he retired in 2000. He was with the deterioration in production line. Among many interviews that he gave to the mass media, he told the deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the production line for the serious problems with the oxygen, unworkable in systems, as the deterioration of quality control standards at this plant in North Charleston, South Carolina, by saying he would never have his family fly on a 787 Dreamliner. He was in the middle of extensive depositions over 3 days with Boeing lawyers and his lawyers in a hotel in Charleston, South Carolina. And in the middle of that three-day period, he was found dead in his truck in the parking lot of the hotel, presumably, but not finally decided, from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And the tragedy is that you had a salt-of-the-earth type quality control protecting millions of airline passengers. That was always in his vision as he went around the plant. And you had someone like John Barnett, who instead of being rewarded and promoted and supported, was undermined by the managers of the plant directed by Boeing in Seattle, Washington, and put under tremendous pressure, which led to his retirement. Since then, as people know, there have been all kinds of problems with Boeing 737 MAXs. The Federal Aviation Agency untypically has put out a report saying that a six-week audit of the company has found, quote, multiple instances where the company allegedly failed to comply with manufacturing quality control requirements, end quote. And then a preliminary report from the nonpartisan U.S. National Transportation Safety Board suggested that the four key bolts designed to hold the door security in place in that close call above Portland for Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 10 were not fitted properly, and they had other criticisms as well. So Boeing is in deep trouble again. The Justice Department has to decide whether to reopen the criminal prosecution of Boeing, which it settled under a deferred prosecution agreement, often called by critics a sweetheart agreement, but it was based on Boeing behaving itself for 2 years after the settlement, and the 2 years are up, and now the Justice Department has to figure out whether to let Boeing go or whether to reopen the criminal prosecution. All to say that people like John Barnett should be heralded and not suppressed and have their workplaces impossible to execute their duties and their trust relationship with millions of airline passengers who rely on their work being efficacious to produce safe planes.
Ralph, what is the status of the 787 Dreamliner? Is that in the air? Is that flying? If it is,
oh, yeah.
Do you need to avoid
flying it? Flying all over the world. And then in a coincidence, a Dreamliner flying out of Sydney, Australia, heading for Auckland in New Zealand, suddenly plummeted for 2 or 3 seconds straight down, and 50 passengers who were not belted hit the ceiling or other parts of the plane, and on landing had to be taken to the hospital, one in serious condition. The airline, the Chilean airline, LAM, described the episode as a technical factor. And we're now waiting to see whether that technical factor relates to the design and construction and quality control inspection of the Dreamliner back in North Charleston, South Carolina.
And it's flying in America?
Yes, it's flying everywhere.
And
I'm surprised you haven't flown it yet, Steve.
I may have and not known it. That's why I want to ask you what flyers should do to protect themselves from this.
Well, if you rely on John Barnett, you avoid it. Try to get another model plane going into the same destination.
And you can find that out how, just as a practical issue?
Well, go to flyersrights.org, F-L-Y-E-R-S, rights.org, where Paul Hudson has information on the Dreamliner. That's the leading consumer safety aviation group that's been around, and we helped start its previous group, the Aviation Consumer Action Project, that then turned into Flyers Rights.
To answer your question, Steve, as a consumer, whenever I book travel, I don't fly on Boeing planes. I pick my airlines based off of whether or not they use Boeing. And when you book your flight, you can actually view on whatever platform you're using, you can view the type of aircraft. So in the moment when you're booking, you can filter out planes you don't trust.
Very good. That's what I was looking for. Thank you for that, Ralph. And I would recommend people go into our search on RalphNaderRadioHour.com if you're interested in hearing what John Barnett and Ralph talked about back in November of 2019. Now we're going to talk about some considerable pushback we got on our guest last week, Barbara McQuaid, whose book, Attack from Within, about disinformation and misinformation in the political realm, created kind of a stir among our listeners. The stir traveled along two lines. One line was the fact that Ms. McQuaid is also a NBC and MSNBC commentator, and that they thought that she was, as such, a Democratic operative. And the other had to do with the issue of anonymity, which both Ms. McQuaid and Ralph discussed. And I'll read a couple of the things. This came from Mike Rube, who said, interviewing Democratic operatives and pretending that they are independent is a form of propaganda. Andy writes, the irony is rich when an expert and best-selling author on disinformation references Russian social media influencing the 2016 election, a theory that has been heavily questioned. So, Ralph, what do you have to say about some of that feedback?
Well, first of all, I thought it was very thoughtful, regardless of where they came out. They weren't writing in sound bites. The second is, I share their skepticism about MSNBC without concluding that everybody goes on there has got an axe to grind in terms of inaccuracy or misinformation. The way to evaluate MSNBC first is to know that it was once owned by General Electric that directed their subordinate at MSNBC to fire Phil Donahue, who had the best rating program on MSNBC because he had temerity in early 2003 to put on people critical of the lies that Bush and Cheney spread around the country to justify their criminal and destructive invasion of Iraq. Having said that, another way to evaluate MSNBC is why they have sort of a stable of regular commentators, again and again, the same people. And the third way to evaluate MSNBC is to think about the people who never get on, or who get on once and are never invited back because they were perhaps too progressive and too challenging of the corporate establishment. There are a lot of good people that never get on MSNBC and are kept off because they're progressive. And I once talked to an editor at MSNBC and said, you know the difference between a liberal and a progressive? You let liberals on, they're often corporate liberals, but you don't let real progressives on. And I gave them some names that are known to our listeners. So on the issue of anonymity, they made claims for the benefits of anonymity that are worth discussing in the context of claims of the drawbacks of anonymity. And I'm going to have a program devoted to anonymity, and we'll invite law professor Robert Falmouth at the University of San Diego Law School, and we can talk about Silicon Valley and anonymity over the internet, as well as other kinds of anonymities in other contexts, to see where the equities fall out. That is, either no anonymity, full disclosure, or a person has to give a reason for claiming anonymity before getting it. So look forward to that program, listeners, and keep the comments coming.
Yes, thank you for the comments. They were mostly very thoughtful, and if not a little hurtful at some point, but that's okay. We could take it. I want to thank our guest again, Tim Judson. For those of you listening on the radio, that's our show. For you podcast listeners, stay tuned for some bonus material we call the Wrap-Up, featuring Francesco DeSantis with In Case You Haven't Heard. A transcript of this program will appear on the Ralph Nader Radio Hour Substack site soon after the episode is posted.
Subscribe to us on our Ralph Nader Radio Hour YouTube channel. And for Ralph's weekly column, it's free. Go to Nader.org. For more from Russell Mokhiber, go to CorporateCrimeReporter.com.
The American Museum of Tort Law has gone virtual. Go to tortmuseum.org to explore the exhibits, take a virtual tour, and learn about iconic tort cases from history. And don't forget, register for our upcoming live virtual taping with bad faith insurance expert Bill Chernoff on Wednesday, March 27th, 2 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, March 27th, 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us for our live Zoom event.
We have a new issue of the Capitol Hill Citizen out now. To order your copy of the Capitol Hill Citizen, Democracy Dies in Broad Daylight, go to CapitolHillCitizen.com.
And remember to continue the conversation after each show. Go to the comments section, like many of you did last week, at RalphNaderRadioHour.com. Post a comment or question on this week's episode. We read them all.
The producers of the Ralph Nader Radio Hour are Jimmy Lee Wirt and Matthew Marin. Our executive producer is Alan Minsky.
Our theme music, Stand Up, Rise Up, was written and performed by Kemp Harris. Our proofreader is Elizabeth Solomon. Our associate producer is Hannah Feldman. Our social media manager is Stephen Wendt.
Join us next week on the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, everybody. Well, the supply of Capitol Citizen's recent edition is out. It's being reprinted. If you want to get copies, go to CapitolCitizen.com. People rave about it, and for good reason. It fills a huge gap in covering Congress and empowers people to become Capitol citizens themselves.
Stand up, oh, step up, step up. You ought to step up. Rise up, rise up. I know you ought to rise up.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report. On the line is Sam Coleman. Sam is a lecturer at Cal State Long Beach. Welcome to Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you so much.
What do you teach?
I'm an academic Japan specialist with degrees in anthropology and social work. And I currently teach Japanese language and culture and Japanese history as social science.
Let me ask you about the woman who was considered to be Japanese, although she was Ukrainian-born, and then she faced a lot of controversy, there were some other issues, and she resigned. What do you think about that? Is she a Japanese person?
What a great question. You know, I learned about that